Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for taking the time out of your morning to join myself and Pastor Dennis Dale, as today is Tuesday, and today is when we do the segment From the Pulpit to the Couch, as Pastor Dennis Dale will be providing biblical teachings, and I myself, Jeanette Abney, am a licensed marriage and family therapist. So I first want to give honor to God for waking me up this morning and for blessing me. And again, I want to thank you for joining us once he called in on the show. As today's topic has to do with end-time prophecy. And I want to say when we talk about end-time prophecy, that means a lot of things to different people. And based on what do you consider and how we think the world is going to end, and, you know, we've heard all these different things. So once Pastor Dan is there, call, we're going to be talking about that and providing a lot of information as it relates to this topic. Now, for years, I've heard individuals, as they've basically said, that we're living in our last days. Individuals, world religions, and believers indicated that they believe that the world events will reach a final climax. I can recall many individuals celebrating the end of 1999 when we entered the year 2000. A lot of people were scared. I wasn't scared, but I didn't know what the bank was going to do with my money in the bank. So there were individuals who were also on pins and needles. With that, we are witnessing, hearing, experiencing things that is talking about in regards to what's happening now with the rapture. Now, is the rapture happening right now? Now, let me log on, Pastor Dennis Dale, because I see he is here. Good morning, Pastor. This is Jeanette. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jeanette. Having a great morning. I was listening to your preview of the show and laughing about your sandwich delivery. So you're prophetic, too.
I should have deleted that, but you can see the look on my face when the door opened and the sandwich was peeping in through the door. Like, thank you, Jesus. Uh-huh. Thank you, Jesus. I'm ready to do the holy dance. I know you probably like, she don't act that way in church, but when they bring her a sandwich, she gets the Holy Ghost.
Amen, amen.
Now you see what moves me. You see what moves me.
Yes.
Okay, so Pastor, let me stop laughing. So I'm going to let you get this started in regard to the end of time prophecy.
Yes, we want to have a discussion today in our hour on end time prophecies, or known as eschatology for biblical students. And we just want to talk about some of the signs of the times, the positives of it and the abuses of it in the church, and most of all, how the believer should view end-time prophecies, whether we're looking in the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, or if we're looking in the New Testament and Matthew, the 23rd, 24th chapter, or obviously in the book of Revelations also, and the book of Corinthians. So it's important for the believer to understand the things that we are seeing right now, the things that are going on, and that's our topic of discussion on today, and we're ready to get into it.
And you know, Pastor, it looks like now we're seeing some things, that, and everything that is happening is already written in the Bible. But some of the stuff is just so out of control. And before I even get started, I better say happy birthday to my daughter before she make my prophecy or make my end time come. You know, it was funny because this morning I was in Compton and my grandson came and woke me up. And then my daughter and I asked her, I said, what kind of birthday cake you want? She said, I just don't want one from Hole's Bakery because I got this one bakery I go to every year for my birthday. And she was like, I don't want one of those cakes. So I do want to say happy birthday. I'm not going to put her age out there because if I do, that makes me seem older. But happy birthday, Leticia, and enjoy your day. So I got to put that out there. Now, Pastor, when we talk about some of the things that we're seeing, some of the things that we're witnessing, a lot of times we used to say, like with children, honor thy mother and thy father so that thy days would be longer on earth. We're seeing so much stuff going on, Pastor. What are we supposed to do as believers when we say we're in this world but not of this world, and we know that we were born to die? What do we do with all this information?
Well, as believers, for us, I know a lot of believers are excited to be living in this time, to see so much taking place within the church and then the world with so much that's going on. And so a lot of believers are excited because they see especially the signs that Jesus gave us. There would be wars, rumors of wars, you know, fathers against children, children against their parents, earthquake in diverse places, various signs regarding the Antichrist. And we see all these things that are taking place with inflation. And then especially how it talks about how knowledge would multiply itself in exponential terms, where we see, you know, you have a cell phone and the next year it's out of date already because knowledge is expanding itself so fast. And our children now, you know, my kids, so funny, my son the other day, because we still have a landline in the house connected to the wall with the phone cord on it. You know, there's a few of us here that have landlines in the house. And he hadn't seen it before because I had it behind a dresser wall. We never use it, but for I live in a gated community, and sometimes people have to dial it, and we let them in to the house that way. And so he's seen that, and he said, "Dad, what is this?" And just, you know, just sign of the times again. And so that's just one of the signs with technology. And we have all these things in place. There was an earthquake just last week here in Southern California again. Earthquake all over the world are happening, you know, almost daily now, when earthquakes used to happen in the span of every 10 to 15 years since they started logging. Scientists started logging earthquakes, and now they're happening almost every day. And so we have all these signs in front of us, and for the believer, is for us to understand that we are to be ready. We don't know the day or the hour that the Lord is coming. And I say for the believer that loves the Lord, all it is just additional motivation. So we're ready anyways because we love the Lord. But it's additional motivation for us because believers don't want to be here during the great tribulation. And so we want to make sure that we're not here for that. And so when we get into this more on today, that was the main thing I was taught as a child. When we studied eschatology or end-time prophecies, my teachers always said we're going into this and teaching this because it's biblical and it's good information. But for the believer, you don't have to worry about what's going to happen during the tribulation because you won't be here. And so that's how I teach it too. But the signs should only excite us. The signs should only let us know that it's the Bible being revealed and being fulfilled, and that for us to understand that the harvest is truly plenteous right now, and to go out and spread the gospel that Jesus is coming soon.
And that is true. And you know, and I was looking at, and I don't know why it was stuck in my head, but I had posted on Facebook and I said, if Jesus came right now, would you know what's going on? Because we've heard how you're going to hear the trumpet sounds, the dead will arise, and would you be ready? Because the longer we live, the more we will experience. And a lot of times individuals don't know what to do. And I thought about, you know, those individuals when the tsunami came. When I moved to Oceanside, I used to be scared of that water because you know I'm scared of the water, right? Because remember, I still don't have a certificate. So me and water don't get along. So I couldn't imagine. And that used to be one of my biggest fears was, what if all this water came tumbling down this hill in Oceanside? Or, you know, and I used to always say, you know I'm going to die, and I was concerned about how I die. But now I always say, as long as I'm not hungry, because if I'm hungry and I got to die, they got to give me some time to eat because I'm going to be in trouble if, you know, all that work I've done and I go out hungry. That ain't going to be cool. But by that same token, we do have to get our house in order. We do have to be prepared because some of these things are just out of our control. Now, I also had posted that according to the Bible, there are several signs indicated. And like you said, we're seeing a lot of these signs. We've been seeing them for a very long time. But then it also went to 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it reads, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Because a lot of times we think of, if our land can be healed, can we live longer? Because we have people, even the guy that was on my show yesterday talking about he had a star in his laboratory. I said, how'd you get a star? You know, so it was interesting. So we have people that are trying to live longer. They're trying to do these things. But the problem is we really need to stop playing. We really do.
In saying that, Jeanette, is there's nothing new under the sun. And so we've been in the church age, you know, 2,000 years now, and the Lord said he was coming soon. And I always want to remind believers that the Bible tells us that a day in the Lord is like 1,000 years unto man. And so for the Lord, it's just a couple of days. He's coming soon. And we have to understand this. The prophecies from the book of Daniel, from the 9th through the 12th chapter, are coming forth. The prophecies from Revelation, the 20th chapter, are coming forth. And we see it all the way in last October. We marked the 500-year celebration of the Reformation with Martin Luther went and tacked to the door with a hammer and paper his assault against the Roman Catholic Church, which is the most powerful church in the world, with all their vices and all the wrong they were doing, and sparked the Protestant Reformation. And out of that came the Methodist Church, came the Lutheran Church, and then out of those came, you know, the charismatic churches. And so churches that came back to the core of the Bible, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the laying on of hands, all these things. And we saw this. And so now, as part of end time, they're trying to do away with that. The Jesuit wing of the Catholic Church has infiltrated corporate church. I'm going to call it corporate church in America. The word is being watered down. Churches are being dumbed down. And you can do almost everything at church right now except for get a good word. In a lot of, you know, the big so-called churches, you can go to church and learn basket weaving and talk about Beyonce and ride skateboards and climb walls and bake cookies. And all these things are taking place in Sunday morning worship now instead of a dogmatic thesis on the Word of God broken down so that the people can understand it. And so this is where we are, where, you know, the Pope has declared that he can forgive sins, and only Christ can do that. You know, the blood of Jesus is the only thing that cleanses us, and there's no way to the Father but by him. And so we're hearing all these things just in the last 2 years on this planet. They've come up to this point. We've had a lot of things come forth, but now it's getting real. And the believers have to see this. And so still with all of this, I'm going to go back to something we said earlier. Still the hardest thing is to keep ourselves in check, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And God says, I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. And so for us to understand that is that it still comes down to an individual thing. It's a corporate situation, but it's also an individual relationship with God. And so for the end time believer, that's what I want them to understand. You have to have that individual relationship with the Lord and then expand it from there. And so the end times, my main focus is us having the right respect for the Lord, the right fear of the Lord, and then understanding his word. And then he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So keeping his commandments, okay? And then we won't have to worry about the end times, because God told us no man knows the day or the hour anyways. We will be ready when the Lord comes.
You know, Pastor, I'm looking at it, and I don't know why. Every time I'm looking at this thing on the screen, as I type in the information and put it on the show and they transcribe it onto the board, it always have a lot of typos, but the typos don't be there when I put the information in. So I'm going to be looking at that because this is not good. I'm like, I do not spell like this. I did not put it like this. Sometimes I got to go back and edit it, and sometimes I miss it. But I have indicated, and I said, and we've heard it said before, if you're scared, go to church. If you want to be saved, go to church. If you want to be delivered, go to church. If you want to fellowship, go to church. But church alone, like you said, will not qualify you to get into heaven. And I remember the song when I was a kid, my mother used to sing that song, I Want to Be Ready When Jesus Comes. And a lot of times we don't realize it's our own personal relationship, because the first thing we want to do is run into the church and want the church to save us. But sometimes we have to be ready. We got to get ready. And some individuals don't know how to do that, Pastor. What would you recommend in regards to that?
Well, it's very important what you said, because all those things are motivations to go to church. And the Bible does say, come as you are. And as believers in the church, we have to accept people the way they come in. And so now, the Holy Spirit is what changes us. And so Romans chapter 8, more than anything else, tells us that people are not saved by rules. Let's not put a whole bunch of rules on people. Let's let the Holy Spirit lead and guide, and let the Word of God direct, pierce the heart of people, all right? And the teaching of the Word of God matures us, as we talked about before. We come from being, you know, a nepios to a huios. We go from being a baby to being a child and then to the sonship of God. And so the more that we know the words, the Word of God, the better. See, a new believer can't come into church and start hearing about the Antichrist and the beast and the great whore of Babylon, the church. And they're like, what is that? And then we come in and we start trying to scare people with all this stuff. First, they got to know about salvation, that Jesus paid the price. And then they have to know about, you know, justification and redemption and all these things. And when we get these in our spirit and then we start learning, then we can move up to a place where we get to apologetics, where we're defending the faith, where we understand how to answer questions to other believers. And then we can get into the realm of, you know, eschatology. And so that's how I look at it. When we look at end times, there's topic of discussion for new believers, there's topic for discussion for more mature believers, and then there's topic of discussion for, you know, the pastoral or the senior level of believers. And so I think you hit it right on the head when you know, the people come for various reasons, and then once they're there, you know, they need to know that the Lord is coming soon. And now let the Holy Spirit begin to apply its process to them, because I've been in church all my life, as you know, there are no two saints alike. And so we have to understand that, but the Holy Spirit knows how to read us all. And so when we get into that and we understand Bible prophecy, for enough people, the signs of the end time is just what we started with at the top, when they know that, you know, earthquakes are happening in diverse places. So why is that a sign? Just as I said before, because in previous times on this planet, the earthquakes didn't happen, or they happened in spans of decades apart. You know, you can look that up. That's true. And so now when Jesus said in Matthew that earthquakes are going to be happening, you know, rapidly, that's a sign of the end times. And so what he's saying is that when you see these things happening, let them be a reminder that I'm coming soon, and don't let, you know, this person upset you and throw you off your walk. Don't let other situations throw you off your walk and make you forget to pray and have you not read your Bible and understand that. And other signs that we see, you know, one very prevalent sign we see that he said in the last days, you know, men, you know, that's translated men and women's generic, hearts will wax cold. And we see that. We see the coldness. We see how churches, a lot of churches are for profit now. They call themselves nonprofit. and they're making money, but they don't want to disseminate that money out to the community. And so
Correct.
we have churches so rich right now. We have countries so rich right now. And Jesus said this would happen in the end times, that there doesn't have to be a community that's suffering right now. There doesn't have to be a country that's suffering right now. When Jesus said that we would have the poor with us always, he didn't say that because there would be a lack of. He said that because he knew the hearts of men. He knew what greed was. And so we have people now with so much money, billionaires. Now the world has got its first trillionaire in modern times. That money is not going to be spent by their children for, you know, 100 lifetimes. And yet, you know, and Jesus said this would happen in the end times. One of the biggest things that we've seen was that in the book of Ezekiel in the 37th chapter, this is one of the biggest signs for anybody. When he said the reemergence of Israel, and Israel became a nation again in 1948. This is huge because never in the span of history had a country or a culture been disseminated, wiped out, scattered all over the world, right? And they become a country again. So over 2,600 years ago, the prophet Ezekiel foretold this. 700 years into the nation of Israel, we see they're carried off into Babylon. And when they came back, and then we saw the Romans take power, and then they scattered the Jews when the Romans took over the Holy Land. Then we saw all the fighting over the Holy Land where the Muslims came in and took over. And then finally, back in 1948, you know, through the United Nations, and I don't have enough time to go into all the history, how the United Nations was started by a Jew, how that money was come together by the Rothschilds, by different entities and powers around the world, and how the reemergence of Israel came about. But it was prophesied, and the Lord said this is one of the clearer signs that you will see in the last days, because people can say, all right, Pastor Estelle, earthquakes, yeah, you know, global warming. And people can say parents against daughters, you know, fathers against sons. Yeah, there's always been family squabbles. People can say that. But this sign of the reemergence of Israel is incredible because it's unprecedented. It never happened before. And so, and then for Israel to come back into power like it has.
You know, as you speaking, the prophet that always pops into my head is John Hagee. I used to listen to him in the morning, and he's been preaching and talking about that for some years, trying to prepare individuals for that. And another thing that you indicated is a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth because when they think about prophecies, they think it's witchcraft. They think you're lying, you're making stuff up. But things that come to you in a dream, these can come to you in a whole lot of different ways. So sometimes when someone is prophesizing, we need to just listen instead of just jumping to conclusions until it passes. And a lot of times people will warn you, and we don't want to heed the warning. We think we know everything. But then when you're talking about the church, sometimes people have their own agendas in the church. And we got to be mindful of that, too. So you do want to go somewhere where they're teaching the true the doctorate, because a lot of times we get the messages confused. Now, talking about that pastor and talking about, I know you was mentioning something about with the church and teaching, and not just the preaching, but teaching.
Yes.
How can we do better? Because when I said earlier about going to church, you find more people in the clubs, you find more people out on the street, you find more people everywhere now than you do in the church, unless it's some of the mega churches. And those people in the mega churches, they don't even know your name. They don't even know who you are.
Right. But Jesus also said, too, that in the last days there will be a great falling away. And that's happening because the world has gotten smaller. And what I mean by that is I'm reminded of a trip that we took from California to Alabama when I was 11 years old. And when we left California, we brought everything that was going on right now. And when we got to Alabama, they thought we was from another planet. And so we had the latest records, Jeanette. We had the latest clothes and styles, you know, because L.A., San Diego, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a time where things dropped in New York first, L.A., then it hit the rest of the country. It hit Miami and Florida, and the small places were hit last. And so when we got to that trip, they thought like, oh, look at them California people. You know, we had on the latest clothes, and we thought we were somebody, Jeanette, you know, because we come from California. We had the music. We had the updated Jacksons. We had the music. but now everything dropped at the same time. You know,
right.
people move all around the world. People can be, you know, you can, my company is so updated that I work for now, I can do my job anywhere. I can do my job at home. I can do my job in the office. I can do my job if I'm on vacation. It's the same thing with music. Fashion drops everywhere at the same time. We don't have to go to the record store. My son would say, now, what's a record store? That makes no sense. The music is downloaded. And so that's why. Everything is everywhere now, and people have so much more to do. And so church used to be a celebration. Church used to be an ordeal for the family to come together in this. But now there's so much things, and the Lord said there will be a great falling away, and this has to do with the technology side. But I also want to go back to another point that you alluded to a few minutes ago about the prophecy. And what happened is, I heard the first, my first one. There's many before, obviously, before I was born, but I heard my first one. I'm going to date myself. The first one I remember was in 73, and I think I had to be 6 or 7 years old, but I was old for my age. They always said, I hung around old people all the time as a kid. Yes, and I learned fast, those type of things, and I heard that the world was going to end, you know, in 73, and here's why, and they were prophesying it. And then I heard the world was coming to an end in 79. So, you know, we had the gas crisis in 76. We had all these embargoes. And I was listening to this stuff, you know, even in junior high school and things. And then we had the 88 reasons why he's coming in 88. And then we had the crisis in 1990. And then what you talked about at the very beginning of the show, we had Y2K. And we had prominent. For the people who are listening to me, we have prominent pastors that were digging out basements, that were storing up canned goods and food and telling their members to do the same. We had church mothers that I knew from different churches. We had prayer warriors from other churches selling their cars, selling their jewelry. And all of these were false prophecies. False prophecies weren't from satanic people. These are from church folks. These are from church people who forgot what the Lord said. No man knows the days or the hour. But they had got so smart, Jeanette, that they thought they had figured out God. And when you get that smart, you need to run to the altar and repent. And so the church is also guilty. And that's why people don't take heed now. Because we had superintendents, we had bishops, you know, preaching, oh, the Lord coming. He coming in 3 weeks. Y'all better be ready and scaring folks.
Pastor? I want to say this too. They were scaring folks because they didn't realize they were scared too. So it's like one of those things when the leader is up there and the leader be the first one to run. It's like, well, wait a minute. Where you going?
So
why threw all that stuff out the window.
Y2K came and went. That was the last big one. And, you know, right before that, we had those people who in Rancho Santa Fe called themselves trying to disappear and being caught up. It really was a suicide. We had Reverend Jim Jones, you know, kill his whole flock. And so we have all these abuses in the name of Christ, and that has confused folks. And that's why I tell people that the Lord only gave the signs for us, not for us to get intrigued and to be stuck on the supernatural and the phenomenal and to get caught up that way. It was for us as individuals to be prepared that you know, Corinthians, when he's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the trump, at the last trump, we shall be caught up, all of us. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, you know, that all of us are going to get caught up. And to be ready for that, for us now, points more to taking up our cross. It points more to handling our attitudes and our, or even from the lesson last week, the show last week, handling temptation and dealing with these types of things, rather than don't get stuck on the sign, is what I'm trying to say. See the sign for what it is, and then be prepared in your mind, your body, and your soul to receive Christ. So a lot of people get stuck on the signs.
You know, Pastor, one of the things, and I've heard it preached, I've heard it said at funerals, get your house in order. Can you tell the believers what that really means in regards to interpreting that to make it where we can understand?
Yes. And so when we talk about getting our house in order, again, is that our body, our house, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so when Christ died on the cross, the veil in the temple was rent. So the temple was still around at this time. It wasn't destroyed until 70 AD when the Romans tore it down, just like Jesus said, and no stone was going to be left on top of a stone. But when the veil in the temple was rent, when Christ gave up the ghost, because no man took his life, the veil in the temple was rent, was a doing away with the law, with the old ways. Okay, Christ had fulfilled the law. He was the only one who could fulfill the law. And so now, just as he said to the woman who was thirsty, who was searching for water, he was saying, you know, I'm going to bring you living water. And this living water I'm going to put inside you. And this is going to be inside your temple and your body. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about getting our house in order, we're talking about getting ourselves in order, okay? And then to extrapolate that, or to expound upon it, rather, we can say that getting your house in order is also, as the Bible says, ask for me in my house. We're going to serve the Lord as a parent, as a mother, and as a father, and as a parent. But first, you have to have yourself in order in order to get your house and your children in order, because it comes from the top and it falls down. And so that's what we mean by that, getting our house in order. Now, on a broader level, to much is given, much is required. We're talking about leaders now, from bishops to superintendents to pastors to lay pastors. And this is now having ourselves in order and bringing our congregations in order through prayer, through fasting, through teaching, through a good biblical study. And this is how we get our house in order. Also going back to last week's lesson, or show rather, when we talked about putting on the whole armor of the Lord so that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Because he's going to come after us. He's going to come after us. He's going to try to find a chink in our armor, so to speak. And if we have our house in order, or we're working to get our house in order, we're in better shape to thwart off the attack of the enemy or the advance of Satan.
You know, and it kind of goes back to, as you were speaking, and I want to focus on declutter, but I want to share something that happened with me this morning when I got to my office, because the traffic was already bad and I came from L.A. to get here. And when I saw this couple, and the couple kind of looked like they was going through some things, and I'm watching them. So then I pulled up, and I parked, and I got in my car, and they were blowing smoke in each other's face. And I was like, dang, is that the new way to get high? You just blowing back and forth in each other's face while you're standing outside? So I'm still watching them. I saw a woman take the cigarette and flicked it right in that man's face. And I looked at her, and I said, you wrong for that. I said, you need to stop it. She looked at me and turned around, didn't have no teeth in her mouth, and was looking out the window. I'm like, oh, Lord, don't make me catch no case out here. This woman better leave me alone. But I couldn't stand there and watch her flick him with that burning cigarette in regards to, and I told her, I said, either you go to jail or he go to jail. And they not going to believe what you just did, but I saw it. So then she walked away. I said, baby, you better keep on going. So he walked up to me, and I'm thinking, oh, God, now he going to be mad at me for pissing his girlfriend off. But he looked at me and said, thank you. He said, I've been going through this for a long time. And he saw my Bible in the back of my car, and then he had a cross. He said, you know what this means? He said, I don't have no family. My wife left me. He said, all I have is her. I said, no, you don't. You just showed me your cross on your neck. You got Jesus. I stood there and talked to that man for about 5 minutes because that man felt helpless. But I don't care how you feel. No one deserved to be flicking no cigarette in your face.
Right.
So when we talk about declutter, we talk about sins, we talk about the way we live in our life, we really need to do better so we won't miss that opportunity when the end times do come, because then you're standing there looking crazy because you don't know what to do. So
Amen.
One of the we both talking at the same time. One of the things I was going to say is we do have to get ourselves together, get prepared, but not be scared to get ready.
Right. We have so much going on right now in the world. We have new types of drugs. We have these vape cigarettes, which are messing up people's minds. The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, which is supposed to protect people, is being paid off. And there's so much bad medication out there now that people think is healthy for them. And people are abusing it anyways. But we have a lot of products. We have new synthetic drugs on the streets. We have crime rampant. 60 people were shot over the weekend in Chicago. The number now is so huge. My pastors used to say to me that the devil also knows his time is short, and so he's acting a fool. And we see the enemy acting a fool because he don't want his numbers to be less than God's numbers. And there's this thing that's taking place, and we're seeing it. And so instead of people trying to see who's so smart, we have like the Hank Hinegraaffs. We have different ones on shows and radios just trying to talk and just trying to see how smart they are. People really need to reach a dying world and let them know that the Lord is coming soon. The greatest evangelist of our times, this modern era, passed away last year, Billy Graham. And Billy Graham never put out a message, a single message, that a fifth grader couldn't understand. It was always a simple gospel for him. And he'd get up and he'd preach it with passion, and he was the greatest evangelist of our modern era. So many people came to the Lord under that ministry. And that's what we should be. It's what you did with the man was a testament of that. It's not that hard to pray for somebody and tell them they're not alone and tell them they have Christ. And then, you know, you showed him the symbol. And the symbol was just a sign. And the sign was that there is a greater power and that the Lord is looking out for you. And so we have this today, and believers have to understand that today. So no matter what numbers and statistics we put together on earthquakes, no matter how much I put my charts together and I show people the 70 weeks of Daniel, the 7 years of the tribulation, and I break down, you know, Revelation chapter 20 and that to them, that's not going to get folks saved because people can hear all the signs. They can hear all the wonderful information on end times. You can do a whole thesis on eschatology, and folks still gonna do what they want to do unless they have the life-changing blood of Jesus in them. And that's what I think it takes more than anything, is to understand end times is we have to understand playtime is over. You can't get caught playing out there on Satan's turf because, you know, he knows also, I'm going to get you while I got a chance. And I looked at today how so many people are just dying, and young people are passing away, and people are dying on college campuses, and people, you know, are just passing away. And we need to recognize and see all these signs that are going on. People, I've never seen so many people get killed riding a bike in my life. Riding a bike
it's
to
crazy.
Work, famous people, doctors, people shooting them, people doing this. And I said, Lord, for the love of money. And so we have to understand the times that we're living in and understand that the Lord is coming soon.
I have to go to a picnic. Every year I always try to make sure I do a lot of stuff for my community, where I grew up at, and they do an annual picnic for those of that was in middle school. So I'm going to be going to that this weekend. And one of the things that I saw was that we just lost another one of our childhood friends. And she was a cheerleader with me, too, when I was she was a year younger than me. And her name was Regina Kilgore. And I was remembering the last time I saw her, I ran into her out toward San Bernardino, and I remember faces. I may not remember people's names, but I remember faces, and I know a lot of people remember me because I did a lot in school. But it's they're dropping like flies, and it's getting crazy. So, you know, you do want to connect with individuals, but it goes back to, again, that what we were talking about is the sin, is we have to do away with sin. Now, we talk about time to get ready, and we're in our last hour, the day that the Lord is at hand, and the time to get ready.
Yes.
And when we talk about that final calls are going out to the world, so we got to get our heads from up under a rock and pay attention to what's going on, because God is preparing to pour out his Spirit upon his people, and we must be earnest in praying for the Spirit to fall upon us. You know, even that I'm going back to this man, one of the things, because I always pay attention to my surroundings. I may not always say a lot, but I watch. She went in one direction. He went in a total opposite direction. Because he told me, she's all I have. I said, no, she is not. So just taking the time out, let him know that he's also important. Because one would have thought for him to go catch up with her. You know, because you're going to go that direction. You better run and go the opposite direction because this is a toxic relationship. And either you going to go to jail or she going to go to jail. And I'm not going to stand here and watch this.
Amen.
And I know I need to do better with that. Somebody is calling, Pastor. I don't know where this number is going to take us because this is a weird number. But I'm going to log this person on because they are calling.
All right.
Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious Predicaments, Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you, and God bless. How are you?
We're doing
well.
Well,
and
what do you want to add to this topic?
Well, I'm just, you know, I find myself getting more and more stressed out with all the politics every time you watch the news these days, and I just kind of wanted to vent, and it does seem like the end of times, and I just want to talk to you about that.
Okay, well, we're here to listen.
The floor
is
open. Go ahead, sir.
Now, I am a religious woman, but I'll warn you, my language gets a little salty. I'm a little old-fashioned.
Okay.
But I want to let you know that you don't have to worry. You're on the radio. I actually have a machine that I bought at a yard sale that bleeps my curse words. So.
Praise the Lord.
You're safe. Praise the Lord. Here, I'll even let you hear. Here, check this out. Motherfucker. Isn't that cool?
No, it's not. Okay, I just hung up. I was going to tell you, Pastor, that did not sound like no woman, but
no.
I knew that was a funny call. See, look, I don't prophesy, but didn't I tell you something was wrong with that call?
Yeah, it was a funny number.
I told you.
I'll tell you this because it's just like what we said before. For all those who are there, I'm going to tell you this because I understand that call. And number one is that we're doing the Lord's work, and we're here and we're not going anywhere. So God bless you. We have freedom of speech on the air. We're not afraid. God bless you. Also, is that we're not going to bite that carrot that was just thrown at us. the Lord tells us also regarding the end times, like he told to the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, render unto God what is God's. In regards to where it comes down into politics, I'm gonna say it like this, is that we live in a country and we are to obey the laws of the country, but for the believer, the laws of God come first, and the laws of God will never leave the believer in a place where they will forfeit the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm. Someone else is calling. Let me log in.
Yes.
We got quite a few callers calling on.
But
you know, it's interesting, Pastor, because I knew something was wrong with that call. I knew it didn't sound like a woman. I was about to text you and tell you that.
No, it wasn't a woman.
But it wasn't a woman. But we know now the devil listening to it, and he might learn something. Now this number, it looks kind of weird too, but let me see. It's the same thing.
Let's go ahead.
Well, first off,
hi,
I think Erica.
Okay, yeah, he calling back. He don't want
it.
He needs some prayer.
We need some
olive oil and some blessed oil. I had to tell somebody today I had to give me some more blessed oil because I've been using mine to make my eggs. But
But that's the job of the enemy. And so we're not going to let him do that. We're going to stay focused. And that's his job, is to come in and try to stop good information from coming out. And so
correct.
We want the believer to understand that. One point that I brought forth last week is this week too. In regards to the news and politics, we have to see, because we're seeing a lot of wrong called right. And when you see things that are just blatantly wrong, morally wrong, ethically wrong, biblically wrong, being called right, that's a sign that we're in the end times also. And so believers, don't look at these things and say, boy, they crazy. Yes, they are crazy, but they also know what they're doing. And they understand that some people are so caught up for the love of money and for the love of power that they will sit on their ethics and sit on their beliefs for politics because of money and because of power. And so we have to understand that those are signs of the end times. And the Lord said this too. When we see the rise of Gog, Magog, Persia, all these countries and these power and these evil alliances that we're seeing being made, when we have our government is coming against good alliances that we always had on God-fearing Christian countries, and trying to make alliances with countries that have been our natural enemy for decades. We have to see these things as the enemy doesn't care where he infiltrates in these last and evil times, even in the highest places in government. And so what we have to do when we see these things, just as it says, the Bible says, pray and be ready. Pray without ceasing and be ready.
And you know, Pastor, and it's interesting you said that, because right in front of me, I had wrote down, because it was on my spirit, how to love your enemies and love my enemies, which we could talk about next week, because we get confused with that. And what people are doing is they're interpreting the Bible the way they want it for their own good, because to love thy enemy doesn't mean we have to do all of that. Now, in time signs, as we know, the world is buckling under great pressure. We know that. We're looking at the earthquakes. I talked a little bit about the tsunamis, the wildfires are out of control, tornadoes. We got mass animals dying. We got people getting bitten by sharks. These things are just a fraction of what's destroying forces ranging throughout the world. Now, we know that nature isn't the only thing that's going wrong with our world today. Everything seems to be going horribly wrong, too. Like, we were just looking at this on the radio. We got war.
Right.
We have terrorism. We have economic trouble. We have increase in sin and the godlessness. But the one thing, we can kind of talk about this. Let me finish this one, Pastor, because I'm going to let you take over from there.
Yes.
The confusion and the strife reigns everywhere in this world. Let's talk a little bit about that confusion and strife, because it's getting out of control.
That's one of the subjects that we really wanted to get into, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to throw some numbers out there from what I talked about earlier. And this is in the 15th century, there were 20 wars. Now in the last century, this 20th century, there's been 278 wars, okay? So the wars have doubled and tripled in the last 600 years. All right? There were 6 famines worldwide, 14th, 15th century. Now there's been over 50 famines that we have in this modern time, even with all the food and everything that we have. Now, here's the shocker. In the 15th century and before that, there were an average of 1 to 2 earthquakes a year, Jeanette. And now we're having over 125 earthquakes a year. Now, you can't look at those numbers over that time and say nothing happening. This is crazy. Now, when we talk about your point that you just made about the confusion about what's going on right now, is that it lies again in power, in greed, and in I have to put this out here too, because we're dealing with a lot of race supremacy right now,
mm-hmm.
where people
yes,
think they're
are.
Better because of their color, because of their skin color, because of their pigment tone. And what we have is that if you did a study of our government, the things that we've done against the world and against other countries, you would be seriously angry and confused on the number of wars we've caused, on weapons we've sold, you know, drug deals with other countries,
mm-hmm.
how drug deals were done to bring drugs into South Central to target black communities,
mm-hmm.
all of these things. When I studied about what happened at Tuskegee with the syphilis, you know, experiments and these things on people, on races, on cultures, but it has happened through our government, through other governments, through leaders, by people who are confused and deranged because of power, because of dominance, and because of racism, and we see these things, and these are crazy people. And
mm-hmm.
these things take place. You know, a lot of our monuments, a lot of our things that we pay tribute to are up for undesirable reasons. And that's why we've seen a lot of these statues and monuments taken down. And
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people
because
don't
you know
understand
what
these.
They don't understand. And you know what? A lot of things, one thing people fail to realize is we ain't standing for that no more. So whoever this anonymous caller is, you need to go back and read your Bible, because we are not going to give you the power that you want right about now. Pastor, this person is still calling, but the devil is a liar. So now he go away.
Let the call through. Let the call through, and I'm going to pray for him in the blood of Jesus.
Okay, here you go. Here you go, Pastor. Get him, Pastor. Get him. Okay, get him, Pastor. Hello? He didn't want to say that, Pastor, because he could hear me
because
he was already
because he understands we love him.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello.
The power
of
the Holy Spirit is real. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, this is Mike from Singapore, my dear. You know, your show is about a lot of issues and about, end times to, what's going around in the United States of America to a lot of issues. So, let's start it with the major issues right now we're having. We have had over 150 major earthquakes since
mm-hmm.
8.2 earthquake in Fiji
yes.
Island. And just right now, as I'm speaking, Port Harvey, Canada, had close to the 5 range. So
right.
Ring of Fire from Vancouver, from the Victoria Islands of Canada to Mexico, bottom of Mexico, Baja, Mexico, is going to be a mass shakeup coming. I mean, not only me am saying it, because I have prophesied this in many radio stations and Blog Talk Radio, matter of fact. And by September 11, we are going to have a massive earthquake activity in northwest of United States. We have to have food right now. Fill up your gas tank right now.
Mm-hmm.
Prepare for the day of judgment because upon us, because
Sir, may I ask, not to interrupt you, are you a pastor? Are you a teacher?
I am all of the above. Let's put it that way.
Excellent.
I am.
Excellent. And
are you seeing
these signs as the end time, and you're preparing your congregation?
Of course, you know, it's just by networking. I mean, because if we don't tell our people what we know, then it's we did them disservice to the people.
Right.
And
exactly.
So
we only have a few minutes left. Let me ask him a question, Jeanette.
But you can go over it and it still records. You know that, sir? You can go over it and it will record you up to 1 hour. Don't worry about it. But go ahead. If you have time, we can chat. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I want to, because I'm very excited that you called in. We have a number of people listening right now. If you have one message to give the world right now regarding the end times, what would you say to them?
It's to be nice to each other, to love each other, and love in peace and harmony, and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And basically, if you have been bad to your neighbors or something, just apologize in advance and tell them, you know, I'm sorry about the past.
Yeah.
You know, we have to put a new lens in our lens and see the true reality. It smelled the coffee, basically.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Pastor? He just gave me confirmation because I told you I had wrote down how to love your enemies and love thy enemies. And my question was, where did you say you was calling it in from again? Where are you calling from?
Mike from Singapore right now.
Okay. And see, that lets us know. And I told you that they listen in from all over the world because I know that there's certain people in certain countries that do listen to the show. And I appreciate you guys for listening. And I like the message that he said, because we have to do better. When you know better, you do better. And we do have to basically turn away from sin. So, Pastor, I'm going to let you finish this out, the last 2 minutes we have.
I mean, don't worry about the 2 minutes. You can go ahead of it, and still your show will go on for one more hour.
Okay.
They always give you 1 hour layover. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
I mean, we can talk as much as you want.
So
but
the
if
Lord.
You have time.
We learn some more.
If you have time.
Right. We do have other things we have to do today, and so we have to close out our show, but that's good information for the future. But what I wanted to do is to say that this pastor that joined us, he's right on, and that's what we were saying from the very beginning of the show. We can get caught up in, as leaders, in all the charts and get caught into eschatology and get so caught up in the signs. But the main point that Jesus wanted to have the believers understand and the Christians to understand is that to be ready means, just as he said, to love your neighbors, love yourself, love God, follow his commandments, you know, repent for your sins, don't have an alt against your brother or your sister, learn how to use the gifts that God has given us to increase the kingdom, pray without ceasing, fast, believers, study your word so that you become, you know, even stronger and more proficient in the gospel. And those are the things that Jesus wanted us to be. He wanted us to be equipped. He wanted us to put on the whole armor of the Lord. And so that when we see all these things that are happening, don't let it, you know, just be a blur to us and dull our senses. We have to understand that these things are happening just as the Bible said they would, just as Christ said that they would. And the church should be really excited right now because we're getting ready to see Jesus. When we say he's coming back soon now, I mean, as I said at church, Jeanette, in our lifetime, in this generation, during this time, we don't know the day or the hour, but we know that God is coming soon, and I want to see him. And just as it says in the Bible, when we see him, we're going to know what he looks like because we're going to look just like him, and that's what excites me. I left you 30 seconds, Jeanette.
Well, I know we have another caller on, but I don't want to log this caller on and not, because there's only 2 seconds. Let me see. It is going off. But hi, this is Jeanette. Do you have anything to say at the end of the show? number was 6359. So I guess they didn't. They were on hold. But again, I want to thank you for joining us here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio with Pastor Dan Estelle and Jeanette Abney. So next week we're going to be talking about, as we were talking about the end of times prophecy, we're going to be talking about how to love your enemies, how love thy enemies, because a lot of times we have so much hate, so much resentment, so much contempt in our hearts. And when Jesus comes, we do want to be ready. And we don't want to be conflicted, and we will be held accountable. So join us next week at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio at 11:30 a.m. And if you want to reach out to Dan Estelle, tell them where they can reach you at, Dan Estelle.
And I want to say something. Peaceful demonstration is your right. Don't get involved with Antifa or alt-right. Let them, make ass of themselves. But
yes, sir.
You have a tradition, or being like a Gandhi, bring the change,
sir.
A Gandhi to the India. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you.
Thank you.
He got right into
Thank
it.
You,
That's
Pastor.
What we're going to discuss next week, dealing with the alt-right, dealing with these types of groups and how to deal with them in love. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
We're at
hdwc.com.
God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
Okay.
Thank you very much,
Thank
indeed.
You.
Bye. Blessed are peacemakers. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.